This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our look at next week's primary election in Ohio with interviews of the two Democratic candidates for Hamilton County Sheriff. Incumbent Jim Neal faces challenger Charmaine McGuffie. We start with Sheriff Neal. We spoke with the two-term sheriff on Monday when he confirmed for the first time two deputies at the sheriff's office had tested positive for COVID-19. Since our interview, the sheriff's department has confirmed a third deputy has also tested positive. When you hear Sheriff Neal reference the two positive deputies, know that the information is from Monday. Here is our pre-recorded interview from that day. And joining us now is Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal. He is a Democratic candidate up for re-election this year and faces Major Charmaine McGuffie in next week's Democratic primary. Sheriff Neal, thank you so much for taking time again.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
It's our pleasure to have you back. I do want to start with some important developing news. One of your deputies had tested positive for COVID-19. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you felt when that news came in and what's going on since that news arrived?
Oh, absolutely. As you know, I've developed a response plan to use in the sheriff's office, and it was so well received that the other police agencies in Hamilton County are using the response plan as it pertains to enforcement. And then, of course, my response plan, because we're a full-service criminal justice agency, also covers our response in the courts as well as our response in the county jail. But we've been up to this point blessed that there's no known symptoms that developed among the offenders in the county jail or employees. Well, April 9th, one of my employees that worked in the county jail developed symptoms for the virus, and he immediately went on to sick leave. And during that time while on sick leave, he was tested, and just recently the results of the test came back positive for coronavirus. So that put us, you know, from the 9th when exhibited the symptoms, you have to go into a 14-day period of wearing the mask and quarantining, for the person that's sick. He's at home quarantined, but the employees that still return to work, we're wearing masks in the work areas, and you have to do so for at least 14 days. So that would have taken us up to the 24th of April. So when I leave to go into the common areas and the work areas in the security area of the jail, I'll wear a mask like everybody else. But every employee that goes into the work area, the secure area of the jail, their body temperature is checked. And you have to sanitize your hands. That's just entering the security area of the jail. But I've partnered with NAFCARE, our medical health care provider, and we are cleaning and disinfecting like never before. Cleaning and disinfecting like never before. And we're doing that every day, and we're trying to do what we can to keep the virus out of the jail as much as possible.
So, Sheriff, when you got word that this deputy had first developed what they determined to be symptoms and began a quarantine on April 9th, and then confirmation comes, it sounds like more than a week later, that it was a positive COVID-19 case. What type of shock to the system at all was there? You must have been quite concerned that somebody who ultimately tested positive had been interacting with deputies, possibly with inmates, and being present on the site. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So what we're doing is, as a result of our current state as it relates to the virus, what we're doing is the deputies are wearing masks. The offenders locked up in the jail are wearing masks. We actually have social distancing now in the jail. The population of the jail is around a daily averages out to about 800 a day. And so every offender has their own cell now, so there's natural social distancing occurring. Now, if an offender comes out of their cell into a common area, they have to wear a mask. If they don't want to wear the mask, simply just stay in your cell. And the cells provide adequate room for an offender because we have to provide so many square feet, you know, to be in compliance with standards for state standards.
So, Sheriff, let me ask you then.
And then the deputies are wearing the mask as well when we're in these areas.
Has anyone else exhibited symptoms, whether on the inmate side or on the employee side?
Employee side, yes. More recently, I just found out this weekend that the partner, someone who worked with the deputy who went home sick on the 9th, a working co-worker, a partner, also has tested positive. So I have two deputies now that have tested positive. And now he's off on a 14-day quarantine. And so that moves the 14 days of masking forward another 14 days for the deputies that work in the jail as well as the offenders.
So
this is so important that during these times that we mask and that we clean and we disinfect and social distancing.
And I just want to reiterate to our audience that this is an interview with Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal. It's airing on Thursday. We recorded this on Monday. So if the situation has developed, then we will have added that to the top of this interview and we'll continue to monitor. But just to clarify, Sheriff, you are now saying that you have two deputies who are now confirmed cases of COVID-19.
Yes, two deputies. So far, two deputies, zero offenders. No offenders, two deputies.
So how is the staff doing, knowing that two of their coworkers have tested positive? Is there heightened concern about their own exposure to the virus?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, there's a heightened concern. That's why we're taking it upon ourselves to practice, working in a safer environment by cleaning, disinfecting, social distancing, wearing of the mask. And we're doing that. And of course, you know, washing hands and sterilizing or disinfecting your hands with these hand sanitizers. We're doing what we can as employees, and we're also doing what we can as an employer to provide a safe environment, not only for those that work here, but those that are sent here by the courts or sent here because they were arrested. The jail right now, like I say, has a daily population of approximately 800 offenders. So we have enough cells to single cell everybody, which was the goal.
Sheriff,
that creates separation. And all these offenders, for the most part, are in the process for felony offenses or waiting to go to prison. But right now, the prisons are not accepting offenders from the local jails because of the virus that they're dealing with at the state level.
And to that end, Sheriff, we saw the report out of the Marion Correctional Institution.
1,600.
I'm seeing 1,800 cases out of 2,500 prisoners. So, my goodness, that was after universal testing of every inmate in that facility. Is that something you believe needs to happen inside the Hamilton County Jail as well?
Yes, when we're doing that. If an offender demonstrates or exhibits symptoms, they are being tested for the virus. So we are doing that. We've been blessed as first responders. If a first responder exhibits symptoms, they're able to be tested as well. Because, as you know, this is a hard test to get. But because we are part of that necessary group that's out there working day in and day out, they allow us, if we come down with symptoms, to be tested for the virus. So we're kind of put at the front of the line, you know.
But that's if you're exhibiting if you're exhibiting symptoms.
Right, if you're exhibting symptoms.
It looks like in Marion they did universal testing regardless, irrespective of whether someone is showing symptoms. Do you think that there should just be universal testing? Because somebody may be asymptomatic and carrying this virus, that's something we know now. Is that a concern?
Well, what we've done, and here's what we've done so far. Our medical staff has recognized our at-risk population, and those that are not serious offenders, any offender that could be released because they're not a threat to our population, the judges have done an excellent job of reducing our population from 1,200 and some down to 800. And with the help of the judges, some of the low-level at-risk offenders have already been released. The at-risk offenders that we have currently locked up because they committed serious offenses, they're being tested daily for symptoms and body temperature. And if they... And if any offender would exhibit a symptom, because we are single cell, they can be quarantined into their cell. They can be tested for the virus. But as far as universal testing, some have probably gone to that because of their state. But right now, the state of our county jail is, so far, we have, as of today, zero have tested positive for the coronavirus, and we are testing. We are testing. And zero has exhibited the coronavirus.
Do you wish, Sheriff, that you had capabilities to test everyone, regardless of whether they're showing symptoms?
I wish, as a citizen of this community, I wish that we all had the ability to be tested, but I don't think it's universally available for us all. They've picked and choose who they're testing because there's so many tests available. You know, the demand for the test is greater than the supply. Eventually, I believe everybody will eventually have that opportunity to be tested. But at least in the jail, and at least among my employees, if there are symptoms being exhibited, all first responders are able to be tested for the virus, and all offenders are able to be tested for the virus. That's a better situation than many of us are facing out in our society, in the communities, because not everybody's able. I've heard, you know, people, if you have a symptoms, I heard some of the medical facilities just quarantine yourself. If it gets bad, let us know.
That does seem to be the standard now. Although, as you've mentioned, first responders like your deputies, they have access to testing when they start to exhibit symptoms.
They have been tested because they are first responders that are exhibiting symptoms. If an offender exhibits a symptom, they're tested for coronavirus.
But so far, you have two confirmed cases among your staff members. Two deputies have tested positive, no inmates.
Yes, sir. Two confirmed cases, but none for the offender population.
And we're talking with Sheriff Jim Neal. He is up for re-election in a Democratic primary next week against Charmaine McGuffey in that Democratic primary. Sheriff Neal, I want to talk a little bit about the resources that you've either gotten or wish you had more of in the wake of this COVID-19 pandemic. We hear a lot about personal protective gear. Does your department have enough of that right now for those frontline responders?
Yes, we ordered personal protective gear, but we are able to get the PPE that we ordered. If we would have known, but who had the forethought that this was going to happen? We would have ordered it earlier, but we did put in for an order. We do have PPE. We have gallons of hand sanitizer, which has been a godsend, that we're using in all of our facilities and all of our enforcement districts as well. So anytime anybody comes into a county building that has business, we have the ability to sanitize their hands and take their temperature. Everybody coming in, so if you have a family member that does have a court appearance, they're letting family members in, but, you know, your body temperature's checked. The important questions are asked. And the hand sanitizers utilized. So we're trying to minimize non-essential people are trying to be kept out because we're trying to do what we can to prohibit as much as possible this virus from proliferating in our environment.
Sheriff, local governments.
We've been blessed.
Local governments are anticipating an economic impact from this COVID-19 pandemic, and you oversee a pretty significant department within Hamilton County. Do you anticipate that budget cuts are on the way because of a decrease in revenue brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic? And what do you anticipate prioritizing?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the priority with the sheriff's office is always going to be statutory mandates. We have mandates on us that are spelled out in the statutes in Ohio. The sheriff will do this, this, and this. And so we have to concentrate when you have limited resources, including human resources, you're concentrating on what is required of the sheriff and sheriff's deputies day in and day out, you know, to run and maintain a full-service jail, to respond for calls for police services, for providing security in the Court of Common Pleas and for serving the papers in the Court of Common Pleas, for verifying sex offenders, registering sex offenders and verifying their locations. Also, other offenders now are part of the mandates, like arsonists and the list goes on and on. I don't have time to name everything or cover everything in a 20-minute interview, but let's just narrow it down to our statutory mandate. So when you're operating on a skeleton crew, you're going to focus on what needs to be done day in and day out if you're a sheriff's deputy, if you're a sheriff.
Sheriff Jim Neal is up for re-election next week. I know that you told us that you're primarily focused now on just being the sheriff, and the campaign has had to take a back seat because of this. However, you are on the ballot next week, so we are giving all of the candidates like you the opportunity to just take 30 seconds and to talk to the voters about why you should be elected.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity. I was hired as a sheriff's deputy in 1981 and worked just over 30 years as a sheriff's deputy. I worked 6 years in the jail, went out to enforcement, was promoted through the ranks of lieutenant commander, have a lot of specialty training, so I learned the job from the ground up. I am a lawman. When I was elected sheriff, and I've been sheriff, I'm in my eighth year now, that hasn't changed. I'm still a lawman. So I run this office as a lawman, not as a politician. I believe in providing service and no politics. I keep the politics out of law enforcement. If you want a lawman as your sheriff, I'm your guy. If you want a politician or an activist, then I'm not your guy.
Jim Neal is the Hamilton County Sheriff, a Democrat. He's on the primary ballot next Tuesday, April 28th, where he faces Charmaine McGuffey in that primary. Sheriff Jim Neal, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. God bless you. Stay safe out there.
Thank you, Sheriff. And again, we recorded that interview with Sheriff Neal on Monday, and new information shows 3 deputies have now tested positive for the coronavirus. Up next, our interview with Neal's Democratic primary challenger, Charmaine McGuffey. And later, a look at emerging cyber threats in the pandemic. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We now hear from Charmaine McGuffey, a retired major from the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department. She faces incumbent Sheriff Jim Neal in Tuesday's Democratic primary. We conducted this interview on Monday when we learned 2 deputies had tested positive for the coronavirus. New information shows there are now 3 deputies who are positive. Here is our pre-recorded interview from Monday. And joining us now is Charmaine McGuffey, one of 2 Democratic candidates running for sheriff. She faces incumbent Democratic Sheriff Jim Neal. Charmaine, tell me a little bit about how you're doing in all this. Last time we talked, you were here in the studio with us, and obviously now we're not able to do that because of social distancing constraints and requirements. So the world is a little bit different. Just tell us how you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael, and thanks for having me on. Things are a little different now. We were always on a social media platform. We had a strong social media presence on Facebook and so forth. So we were continuing that, and of course, we've strengthened that to push that out. I've learned a lot about Zoom and Skype meetings. We've been doing a number of those and just trying to maintain communication with the voters. And that means phone banking as well. We've been on the phones, communicating with people, calling them, encouraging everyone to get an absentee ballot and vote. Exercise your right to vote. It's so important.
One of the main responsibilities for a sheriff is oversight at the jail, and that would be one of your responsibilities should voters put you in that office. We found out last week that a deputy tested positive for COVID-19 in Hamilton County, and apparently this deputy has been in isolation at home since earlier this month. What are your thoughts on that developing situation?
Well, I can tell you what I've been reading in the accounts, in the newspaper, in the media. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me was the statement that they had no way of knowing where the deputy had been inside the jail or who he had come in contact, he or she had come in contact with. And it's one of the things that needs to be addressed up front when you're dealing with a pandemic and the situation that could affect your jail population. So I do feel for that deputy. I'll tell you that right up front. That's number one. I know that's a hard and difficult situation to be in, and I'm certain that, you know, they'll get well soon and get back to work. So I really appreciate their courage and their courageousness on going in and working in a jail when we have a pandemic going on and it's so dangerous.
You note that you're concerned about the fact that deputies apparently could not figure out exactly with whom this infected deputy had come into contact with. What type of protocols would you establish as sheriff to ensure what you would consider to be a better process?
Well, I can outline for you my thought process. Months ago, when we received a credible threat that this could be something that was coming into our jail, the very first thing we want to do is start communicating. I want to create committees. I want to create a committee of supervisors so that we can have supervisors on hand who understand exactly what's going on, help us create protocols with security. The next committee is classification, support staff, medical staff, people who will be able to help us with inmate movement and what happens with the prisoners in the units if they are, in fact, infected. The next committee would be judges, defense attorneys, and the prosecutor's office so that we can begin that process of safely releasing anyone that can be released from the jail who is a nonviolent offender. And then the next thing to do is start restricting movement immediately. Start restricting not just movement of prisoners, because one of the things, a characteristic of a large jail, is you have a tremendous amount of movement through that jail daily. So we want to start restricting that movement to high needs only. And that includes officers. No more in-person briefings. No more lunch breaking together. The supervisors can find ways to communicate with officers who are given an assignment, who come into that jail, go straight to their assigned duty post, and do not leave there. I know these are hard duty assignments when you can't, move through the jail and have that ease of movement that you're used to, but it's incredible. Everybody be accountable, and that's including support staff, medical staff. We're going to try to keep everybody separated, working in their units, as isolated as possible. So the key is overall with the mindset of we want to slow everything down. We have to slow it down so that we have time to evaluate, we have time to move prisoners, we have time to designate units, and then we need to start very immediately moving those prisoners who are most at risk, who the people have, they're older, they have heart problems, maybe they've had some pneumonia in the past, whatever their physical conditions are, we need to try to move them into isolated like areas. The jail has always had a bleaching protocol. That bleaching protocol needs to be now times 10, and we need to designate who is going to do that, who's going to supervise it. So when there are officers, and certainly there are officers who have to have movement throughout that jail, they have to go and walk from one place to another. It's mandatory. It's something that needs to be done to keep the operations moving smoothly. But those people will be designated to be wearing masks, to have protective gear on wherever they go and whatever they're doing. The other thing that I understand is happening is temperatures are being taken upon entering the jail, and there needs to be a very concerted effort to everybody and train your staff. Everybody watch everybody. If you see an officer who forgets, an officer who's maybe not taking off their gloves properly or something like that, we need to help each other and coach each other in this environment. It's very dangerous, and the very first thing I would do is impart that to the officers, through the supervisors, down the ranks. This is the direction we're going to go in. The next thing I would do is create a medium for feedback. That feedback to us is going to be incredibly important. Officers need to get feedback to the top command immediately, and they need to be able to address anything that is important, that's awry, that's not working, very immediately, and so that we as a command staff can deal with it and make things happen in some very short periods of time.
And we're talking with Major Charmaine McGuffey. She is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Sheriff on April 28th, next Tuesday. She faces incumbent Democratic Sheriff Jim Neal. Charmaine, according to reports in the Marion Star, Governor Mike DeWine ordered every prisoner at the Marion Correctional Institution to be tested. And this universal testing found that they had 1,800 positive cases out of 2,500 prisoners. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that report and what concern, if any, that may heighten about incarcerated populations.
Well, incarcerated populations in this light have the same concerns as the general population. There is not enough testing. There's not enough to go around. We can test people and we can find out who is carrying the virus. Some people, as you know, don't show any symptoms. Others get extremely ill. So I think that we would, of course, embrace mass testing and then, as I said, isolate people accordingly. But I think in the light of the limitations on protective gear and testing, I think we rely on that good old-fashioned observability that our officers have so that officers can observe prisoners and create a reporting lane that happens from prisoner to officer in a very short period of time as well, so that prisoners can feel comfortable and know that they can report their symptoms and be addressed immediately. I think the prisoners have to have a confidence in the system, which I think is in some facilities, from what I've read, is lacking. And that's the other piece, that as the sheriff, that needs to be communicated. The prisoners need to know what we're doing. They need to be on board with this so that they can also contribute, so that they can collaborate and cooperate. They want to stay safe as well. So, yes, I respect Governor DeWine. I think he's doing a fantastic job in Ohio with this situation, and it is. It's incredibly complex.
So how would you go about ensuring that the Hamilton County Jail, for example, would have access to universal testing if that's something that you might see as needed?
Well, of course, I have to depend on the county leaders. I would immediately be initiating meetings with the county administrators and, of course, finding out, what can we do? The mayor of Cincinnati, any of the people in that political realm that may have access and the power, quite frankly, to get the information of how we get these tests, how we coordinate the tests, how it gets to us. So communication and collaboration is absolutely key.
And we're talking with Charmaine McGuffey, a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Sheriff. On Tuesday, April 28th, she faces incumbent Democratic Sheriff Jim Neal in that party's primary. Major McGuffey, we have seen a decrease in the population at the jail as one of the efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19 and do their best to stop it from getting inside the jail if they can. What do you think about the system that's in place to determine which inmates are released, and what might you do differently?
Well, as you know, Michael, I'm not there on a day-to-day basis, so I would not be able to comment on exactly who was released or what that process is. What I do understand is the defense attorneys have been integral and absolutely so important on the front line of this issue. Those public defenders have been working day and night to identify the people that they know inside that jail because they have that information, and they've been bringing it forward to the judges, to the prosecutor's office, and advocating for those prisoners. I know because I've talked to many of them. They are so concerned and working day and night, and they're doing some very heroic things of coming in and out of that jail at their own risk to make sure that they continue to communicate with prisoners who may be at risk or may need to be released. So it is an ongoing process. I'm thrilled that the jail population has lessened. I think that's a key to managing this pandemic inside a facility.
How would you, as sheriff, reassure the public that the process for releasing inmates is as safe as can possibly be assured? I'm sure a lot of people might see headlines about inmates being released and may not fully understand the types of inmates that are being let out. Of course, on the other side, there are plenty who support this and think that this is appropriate, that people are in jail for too long for crimes that don't merit those types of sentences or punishments. I guess my question is, how would you reassure the public that this is a good move?
Well, I would assure the public like this: one, through transparency; two, through education inside that transparency. So I want to make it available to the general public in a format that anyone who has concerns can first of all learn about what we're doing, because I, as the sheriff, will be giving daily briefings, if not daily, you know, perhaps every other day, whatever's necessary to make sure the correct and accurate current information is going out. We need to have a phone bank that's available for people who are calling on specific prisoners who may have been a victim of that, of a crime that that prisoner is accused of doing, so that we can continue that education piece. And let the public know this. The reason it is important for us to address these issues of release, safe release, when we can, is because exponentially it will cost us more as taxpayers, and we have a moral responsibility to make sure that mass prisoners are not just dying in our jail or falling critically ill, but they're also not infecting the courageous people that are coming in and out of that facility every day, those officers who are wearing that black and gold, the support staff, the medical staff, the meal staff. I mean, you know, everybody that's walking into that jail is doing so at their, you know, in the most courageous way, because they know what they're dealing with. So I would say that. I would say the public needs to understand why it's important from a standpoint that's a little bit of a higher view than just why we're releasing prisoners.
We are seeing some violent crimes in Cincinnati amid these stay-at-home orders. Is that a concern for you? And what would you do about it?
Well, I think what's being done is what can be done. I think the officers that are out there are very vigilant. I think they're trying to maintain order as they can. They're also in peril. They are also concerned with their own safety. But they're doing their jobs. They're doing exactly what they signed up to do, what they've been trained to do, exactly why they took the oath. And, you know, of course, we anticipate, I'm sure that every law enforcement agency in the region has anticipated that they're going to see an uptick in some domestic situations because people are not allowed outside. And they're cooped up together. They can't get out and get away from each other like they normally do. And so we are going to see those situations pop up. But once again, you know, we rely on our training, our protocols, our policy and procedure, and we just deal with it like it was, you know, something that we anticipated and something that we deal with every day.
We're talking with Major Charmaine McGuffey, a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Sheriff. She faces incumbent Democratic Sheriff Jim Neal in next Tuesday's primary election. I want to talk about personal protective equipment. What are you hearing about internal needs in the sheriff's office for protective gear? And if you're hearing there's not enough, what would you do to fix that?
Well, I'm certain that the sheriff and the administrators have allocated funds for protective gear, because that is incredibly important to all the people who work inside that facility. What I would do, again, you know, when we first had a credible threat, that is the time to start taking an account, to start planning. So months ahead of time, we should have been planning for masks. We should have been planning for gloves, which we have gloves in the jail now. I mean, officers are mandated to carry those gloves around on their duty belt in case they need them. And of course, we need more of them. I would say, you know, the masks, the different things that I wear, things like that, that are going to be important for officers to have, those things we should have been accumulating and trying to stock prior to this really becoming as widely spread as it is now. You know, again, your hands are tied as a administrator, as the sheriff. My hands would be tied with what is available in the general population in Ohio, and then what can be taken from that for the incarcerated population. So, you know, every day, you're out there every day looking and finding funding for it. And, you know, your key responsibility is the safety and the mental status of your staff, so that they feel safe, that they know they're cared about, that they know what they're doing is something that is on the mind of the boss and is extremely important to the boss.
Local governments are anticipating a pretty significant hit to their fiscal stability because of the economic impact of COVID-19, this pandemic. What do you plan to do to address that if you're elected sheriff? Obviously, one new fiscal year will be midway through by the time you would assume the office early next year, but you would still have to deal with the next one. What do you see as opportunities with addressing any budget issues brought on by COVID-19?
Well, budget issues are not new. They're not new to the sheriff's office. They're not new to the Hamilton County. And so I would fall back on the previous protocols that we've established to deal with, one, budget issues that mandate that we reduce our staff, budget issues that mandate that we don't house as many prisoners as we have been housing, budget issues that affect our ability to purchase and buy equipment that's necessary. And I think that we fall back on our experience, and we certainly have a lot of experience of budget issues in the sheriff's office. And this is no different. We try to find the most necessary staff, people that absolutely have to be there, people that we can furlough, for instance, need to be furloughed. I mean, that's the unfortunate bottom line of it. But when those people are laid off, if they're laid off or furloughed, it needs to be made very clear to them, listen, this is temporary. It's temporary, and we need to impart upon them a game plan that we are planning to get them back and give them a time frame and support them while they're off in any way possible. I think that's important to remember when you're talking about managing in a budget crisis.
Major McGuffey, I want to give you 30 seconds to make your general pitch to voters.
My general pitch to voters is I'm asking for your vote because I care about my job. As the sheriff, I will care about my job. As the sheriff, I will commit to being a person who is collaborative, who will communicate to you what is going on and communicate to the press and the people at large. And I think that's so important from an elected official. Thank you so very much.
Charmaine McGuffey is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Sheriff. She faces incumbent Democrat Jim Neal in next week's sheriff's primary. Charmaine McGuffey, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Michael.
You can hear all of our election preview interviews at WVXU.org, which include looks at the Democratic primaries for Hamilton County Prosecutor, Hamilton County Commission, and the 1st Congressional District, in addition to this Hamilton County Sheriff's preview. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.